Fresh in the Country is sponsored by Julie Karen State Farm Insurance. Phil Nee, hope all your trails are happy. Until we talk again later on WRCO-FM in Richland Center, Wisconsin. The News at 9 is sponsored by Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, continuing the long tradition of caring service to area families, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, along with video games. It's 61 degrees.
ABC News. I'm Derek Dennis. A televised debate is scheduled for September 10th on ABC between former President Trump and his Democratic rival Kamala Harris in the race for president.
A new poll from Marquette University Law School showing Harris leading Trump by 6 points in a head-to-head matchup among likely voters, 53-47%, with a margin of error of 4.7%. But this race will be decided in the battlegrounds. In swing state Wisconsin, the Marquette poll shows Harris and Trump in a dead heat.
ABC Selena Wang. Tropical Depression Debbie spinning over the Northeast after causing death and destruction in the Carolinas. The storm may have caused a plane with Carolina Panthers players on board to get stuck in the mud after landing at Charlotte's airport overnight. And Debbie isn't done. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster watching floodwaters rise. Overseas, a bus in Turkey swerved off a highway and slammed into an overpass today, killing 9 people, injuring at least 26 others. This is ABC News. A U.S. runner is out at the Olympic Games in Paris after appearing to collapse on the track yesterday. More from ABC's Janae Norman.
A dramatic night on the track. Sprint superstar Noah Lyles favored to win the men's 200 meters, coming up short in third place for the bronze. After the race, medical staff racing to a clearly winded Lyles, taking him off the track in a wheelchair. Moments later, a surprise announcement from the 27-year-old, who was seen wearing a mask just before the race, announcing he'd tested positive for COVID after falling ill on Tuesday.
And the IOC has released a statement this morning saying, in part, Paris 2024 is following best practices in managing infectious diseases at the Games. Florida's finest snake hunters are preparing to take over the Everglades for the start of the annual Python Challenge. The hunt, started by conservationists a decade ago, will award $30,000 in prizes. I'm Derek Dennis, ABC News.
The old saying, the more things change, the more they stay the same, sure applies to the Phoenix Center. The bowling alley has been the go-to for good times and great food for generations in Richland County. It's where good friends become better friends and good times become awesome memories. From a delicious pizza to bowling to a conversation over your favorite drink, the Phoenix Center in Richland Center is the right choice every time. The Phoenix Center. Call 649-7469.
No two people are alike, and no two funerals are the same either. I'm Nick Hodge of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service. Our goal is always to walk with you while listening carefully to make sure the process is one of love, healing, and life celebration. We are here to help and support you, be it pre-planning or in a time of need. Call us anytime at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center and Muscadet.
A high of 70 degrees today, maybe a few sprinkles late afternoon or early evening. A low of 49 tonight. Saturday, partly sunny, breezy, and comfortable, and a high of 72. Clearing off and cool Saturday night, a low of 50. Sunday, mostly sunny and somewhat warmer with lighter winds, a high of 77. Monday, partly cloudy and mild, and a high of 79.
Both calves and fleshy slaughter cows were steady with the thin, poor-yielding cows weaker at this past Wednesday sale at the Mathis Farms Auction Market in Biola. Holstein bull calves sold up to $655, crossbred calves up to $800 and down. The fleshy beef cows sold from $136 to $147, with the thinner cows $98 to $129. Bulls $128 to $157. We marketed 147 head of cattle at our last feeder sale. Holstein steers range from 160 to 245, beef steers 220 to 310, and beef heifers 2 to 250. Our next feeder sale will be on Friday, August 16th. If you have dairy, feeder, or slaughter cattle to sell, consider Mathis Farms Auction Market in Biola. Darren Colton or Jim will do their best to get you the top dollar for your livestock.
Choosing to bundle your auto and homeowners coverage isn't just convenient, it can save you money. Hi, this is Julie at State Farm. On top of the monthly savings when bundling auto and homeowners, our agency can help you select affordable coverages and price options just for you. It's what we call the personal price plan. How do I start bundling? Well, whether you call, email, or drop by the office, talking to the Julie Karen State Farm team is the first step to discovering how much time, effort, and money you could save by bundling your auto and homeowners coverage. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
When you get to Oakwood, you're out there having fun.
Oakwood Fruit Farm is now open. Stop by for the area's best new crop apples, Rave, Paula Red, and Zestar. Also, the bakery is in full swing with fresh apple cider donuts, take and bake pies, turnovers, and all the goodies. Oakwood Fruit Farm is located south of Ithaca on Apple Ridge Road. Just follow the signs, check out the new website, and like them on Facebook. Oakwood Fruit Farm is open 7 days a week from 9 until 5.
Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for family fun.
Looking for an exciting career opportunity with a world leader in coated glass for residential windows and doors? Look no further than Cardinal CG. They're hiring for all shifts, including production positions, with the potential to earn up to $29 an hour. Enjoy up to 6 weeks of time off per year and start earning vacation hours on your very first day. Apply in person Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. Interviews and tours are available at 1024 East Madison Street in Spring Green. Join the Cardinal CG team today and be a part of the future of residential glass innovation.
Today's specials are Country and Community from the WRCO studios, sponsored by Richland Family Restaurant.
On our morning show from WRCO, we look back to Wednesday night and look ahead to tonight's Walk with Grace, Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination, a year-long culmination of all the fundraising and efforts put on by local and area folks. On Wednesday night at the Phoenix Center, that was the Captain's Night and Survivor Night, and we're always blessed to have physicians visit and those that are funded by some of the research dollars that is donated by Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination. Back in Richland Center this year was Dr. Paul Lambert, who is the director of the McArdle Laboratory for Cancer Research, and he is also a professor of oncology, and he has some great things to say each time he comes to Richland Center. We look back on his talk from Wednesday night.
Yeah, so thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to come back to Richland Center and join you at Grace. It's amazing to me every year to hear the stories, how many people in the community, some here, have suffered cancer, have had family members who suffered cancer, and the stories that arise from that, and the upswelling of support that your community has to them. And it's really quite astounding. I think you guys have been in this community all these years, and you might think this is the norm. It's truly remarkable, and I want to applaud everyone in the Grace community who contribute to the amazing things that you do, raising money for supporting your community members who are dealing with cancer, providing support to your local hospital, and providing support to the Gunderson and the Carbone Cancer Center to support our research. So I'll just tell you a few things about news from the Carbone Cancer Center. The Cancer Center is successful because people like you folks at Grace provide us the funds through your efforts at raising funds to support new research that can make a difference to patients and their care. And we have many examples of that. I'll give you one in a bit that I think is very exciting. But it also has provided the Cancer Center the ability to compete for funds from the National Cancer Institute to spearhead further research and treatment of patients and care for patients. And but it's the support we get from communities like yours, Grace, that really helps us succeed at getting that support. So this is the last year we competed for our National Cancer Institute Cancer Center support, and we received a fantastic score, such that normally the Cancer Centers get 5 years of support. The Cancer Center this time is going to get 7 years of support, which is huge when it comes down to it, because it allows us to spend more time taking care of cancer patients, doing our research, and less time writing the grants. Okay, so that's really great news. And the other thing is that the Cancer Center's memberships have been successful in getting two what are called National Cancer Institute SPOR grants. These are grants that support research from the bench to translation into clinical trials for patients. So these are extremely difficult grants to get. The Carbone Cancer Center this past year has gotten two SPORs, one in head and neck cancer, that's a renewal from before, and the second is a new one for prostate cancer. And they've submitted one for breast cancer. So these grants bring in huge amounts of money to support that bench to bedside research that you folks provide the pilot funds to allow us to write those grants and get those that national funding. So again, a huge impact for how we can amplify the monies that you bring to the Carbone Cancer Center into much larger amounts of funding to create a bigger difference for our community, including your friends and neighbors and family members who are dealing with cancer. So I'm going to give you one example of a study that was supported by Grace. It started, it starts with Farrah Fawcett. You might remember Farrah Fawcett. She died of anal cancer, pretty rare cancer. But that really spearheaded a national effort to try to better treat the anal cancer patients, but also try to prevent the anal cancer by finding the precursors to that cancer before the cancer arises and then better treating those patients so they don't get this cancer. Evie Karshman is a gastrointestinal surgeon at Carbone Cancer Center and treats patients with different GI tract cancers, including anal cancer. She decided a number of years ago to start a new clinic to identify patients who are at risk of this cancer arising before they get the cancer and then treat them so that they don't get the cancer. Unfortunately, the therapies that we have to treat these patients with the precancers isn't very good. So she decided, I'm going to start looking for new drugs that might help in treating these patients so they don't get the anal cancer. This brings me to Nate Scher, a basic science researcher at McCarter, which is the part of the Carbone Cancer Center that I direct. And he works on viruses. One of those viruses is human papillomavirus, which causes anal cancer. He discovered a new drug. It's actually a repurposed drug. It's already FDA approved to treat for a different disease, but he discovered that it will destroy cancer cells that are caused by, for cancers that are caused by the virus, the papillomavirus. He teamed up with Evie, using the funds from a PIDEC grant from the Carbone Cancer Center, supported by GRACE, and demonstrated the efficacy of this drug in treating these patients, well, preclinical models for this type of cancer. Evie then went and got a large grant from the federal government and also one from the University of Wisconsin, and she's now started a clinical trial to treat these patients so that they won't get anal cancer. That would never have happened without the support from GRACE. So I want to thank you all. I know many of you have dealt with cancer in your families or personally, and I applaud your efforts to take that experience and turn it into something that's even bigger for your community and for Wisconsin. So thank you.
That was recorded earlier this week at the Captain Survivor Night. Thanks to Dr. Lambert for being here. Also, Dr. Kenny makes an oftentimes visit here to Richland Center to talk about some of the research dollars from GRACE and what they're working on and the latest thing. He spoke to the crowd on Wednesday night.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Corey Kenny. I'm the director of the Kabara Cancer Research Institute up at Gunderson. So again, always really, really great to come back to Richland Center and see the amazing stuff that you guys are doing down here to care not just for each other and other people in the community, but for the funds that you raise that support research at Gunderson, which is really transformative in terms of what we're trying to accomplish. So in our center, there's three main things we're trying to do. So one is the cancer-focused work we're doing together with our oncologists and our Gunderson cancer patients, where we take situations the oncologists find with their patients where there's no good answer and do studies in the lab in parallel with that patient's care. The second big thing we do is genome-guided patient care, and there we work with oncology colleagues across the state of Wisconsin, including many at Carbone Cancer Center, to try to work with these oncologists and figure out the best treatments for their patients based on their genetics. The third big thing we try to do, and that's what I'll talk about tonight, is our cancer biobank at Gunderson, where we've been banking and storing tissues and blood specimens from cancer patients dating back to the 1980s. It's a tremendous resource for studying the kinds of cancer that are so prevalent here in our community that affect our families. So over the years, we've now amassed a total of 114,000 cancer specimens, tissue and blood, for us to study. So one of the big innovations we've been working on with support of GRACE over the past year or so is a new sort of adventure for us in the world of digital pathology. So I'm going to stop for a second and talk a little bit about what pathology is. So those of you who've had a cancer member in the family, you know, they go to the hospital, they interact with a few doctors. So there's the surgeon who cuts the cancer out. There's the oncology doctor who talks to the patient and helps make decisions about medication and chemotherapy. And then there's the radiation doctor that does the radiation therapy. The doctor that most patients, that's so important, but most patients don't even meet is the pathologist. So the pathologist is the person in the background who looks at that tissue specimen from the patient and really tries to describe in detail what the cancer is. So what we've been trying to do over the past year is build a big resource in what we call digital pathology. So that's making really high resolution digital images of these slides so that rather than just talking to each other about what the cancer is, the doctors in these multidisciplinary teams can look together at the cancer at high resolution. And when people can look at a problem together, I think they've got a better chance of coming to a good solution rather than simply describing it. It also facilitates the ability to share these images outside the organization. So for patients who've got a complicated cancer and the doctors want to get a second opinion, in the old days, which was, you know, last year, they'd need to send a little glass slide with a piece of that patient's cancer in an envelope to, you know, New York or Boston or San Francisco. So another pathologist there might open the envelope someday, find it, look down the microscope, and send a note back. Now that we can do this digitally, we can share that with those pathologists in other institutions in real time. The second big thing we're trying to accomplish in this area is to take advantage of this new sort of artificial intelligence revolution that really seems to be kind of cresting a wave at the moment. So pathologists have been using their eyeballs, which are very well trained, very expensive eyeballs, to look at these tissues for a couple hundred years. What we want to do now is use some of this new computer power to look at these tissues in entirely different ways and learn about some of the patterns that are just not really that apparent to our human eyeballs. And hopefully we're trying to use that approach to learn new information about these individual cancers to better guide patient care. So that's something that, you know, scientists like me are very, very excited about. But when the rubber hits the road, what does it mean for folks in Richland Center? Well, why should you be supporting this research? So the first thing is that digital pathology I talked about, that ability to share images with the other doctors. We've implemented that this past year. In terms of this new artificial intelligence approach, we started studies in July of this year to try to develop predictors for breast cancer patients for a very important class of drugs called CDK4/6 inhibitors that are very widely used in breast cancer, but still are not really very effective for a lot of the patients who get them. So what we want to do in this area, this arena, is try to figure out those patients who really should be getting those drugs and spare those patients for whom those drugs really don't have any benefit and help them to get a different therapy. The second big thing we're doing in that artificial intelligence area is trying to focus on building models to predict which patients should not get chemotherapy. So we've been giving sort of historically many, many patients chemotherapy for breast cancer. We know that some of those patients don't benefit. Honestly, they would do just fine without the chemotherapy. So this type of looking down this digital microscope approach, we hope is going to be key to helping figure out which of those patients will be just as well off with standard treatments like hormonal therapy, which are a lot easier to handle. And that's something that we just started actually last week in the lab. And then the final thing we're doing is kind of getting back to our biobank again. So one of our big missions is to honor our patients' intent by taking the tissues that they donate to us and connecting those with the very best cancer research studies around the world. And that's important for two reasons. One, as much as we love cancer research in our institution, we can't do research with 114,000 specimens, and they don't do any good to our cancer patients if they just sit on the shelf of my lab. So we want to share those as widely as possible with researchers around the world. And this digital pathology approach has really been key to sort of moving that forward. Because if you're a breast cancer researcher in New York or London or Paris or anywhere in the world, and you want to get 100 specimens, it's really challenging to know in advance which ones are the right ones for your study. But if they can just go on their smartphone or their computer and log into the Gunderson system and look at, you know, 200-300 breast cancer specimens from us, and they figure out, okay, these really are the 100 ones that I need to make my study hum, we want to be able to provide those people with the very best specimens, because we know that the treatments and diagnostics that come from that will come back here to our communities and help take care of the next generation of our patients more efficiently. So I'll wrap up by thanking you on behalf of our patients, all the folks at Gunderson, the people in my lab. I'm constantly amazed by the good work that you do here, and thank you very much for your support.
Thanks to Dr. Kenny and earlier Dr. Lambert. They were great guests, as always, in Richland Center. And always the crowd enjoys hearing what they have to say and where those research dollars are going. Another snippet of the program from Wednesday night. In fact, Logistics Director Eric Renish talked about some important information for folks headed to tonight's Walk with Grace.
So we're going to make a little bit of a change this year from last year. I just kind of wanted everybody to be aware of the change. We're going to move the food court area kind of where Beef Producers always has been, but we're going to move it back into that parking lot on the west side of the community building. One thing we kind of focused on last year was we noticed people were sitting in the middle and kind of just stayed there for the night. There really wasn't places for people to sit down and eat. So I think moving the picnic tables over with the food area is going to be a good change, which leads to I want to welcome anybody that does want to sit in the middle. Bring a lawn chair and you're going to be welcome to use that space where we always had picnic tables to sit there if you would like to watch the event from there if you don't have a team that you're part of or that sort of thing. And then this year we're going to move where last year some of you people probably didn't even see the butterfly that was painted by the Rogers. This year we're going to move it closer more towards the inner circle, but it'll be southeast corner of that circle is where we're going to put the new shoe that's going to be made this year. And then the butterfly that we had last year is actually going to be over behind spots 5, 6, and 7, which would be over by Kids Corner. And they're going to do the outline of that and let the kids actually finish coloring that in, which I think is really cool. So if anybody has any questions, you're always welcome to see me. But like I said, and then I wanted to bring this up too for the people from Walk with Grace, where we've always let you park in that parking lot and then leave through the gate by the ball field. That'll still be the case, but I probably won't want you parking in that parking lot. We're actually going to make a spot in the grass behind the Meyer building that you can park in and still get out of there without having to come through the walk. So thank you.
Director of Logistics on the ground, Eric Renish, and he'll be around. In fact, probably is there right now working on things at Kroska Park, getting ready for tonight's opening ceremony, which starts at 6. All teams should be in their campsites as of 4 o'clock this afternoon. And while you're there, make sure you check out all of the great items, the silent auction items, the bucket raffle items, and just take a look around. There are so many things that teams are doing, and take a look at all of the butterflies that the cancer survivors are wearing as well. Congratulate this year's Walk with Grace ambassadors, including Jacqueline DeJager, along with Tara Weitzel and Marge Benson. They've done a great job this year, and they will lead that first lap this evening, again, that will get underway just after the opening ceremony that starts at 6 o'clock at Richland Center's Kroska Park. We appreciate you supporting Grace, and this is The Morning Show from WRCO.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Lynette from the Prescription Center. We want to thank all of our longtime friends who have put their trust in us to manage their family's health. We want to thank our increasing number of new friends who have learned just how special we treat our friends. We do realize you can go anywhere or use mail order. We want you to choose us every day. We know copays are the same for any pharmacy in town. However, we feel we provide a superior value for your dollars. If you find our prices higher, we will match prices for all medications. We check to see if any of your prescriptions have dollar off coupons from the manufacturer. These coupons actually put money back in your pocket. If your current pharmacy does not do this, give us a call. We know your time is valuable. When you call ahead, your prescriptions are ready when you stop. I guarantee you will never wait in our drive-thru. Okay, we do not have a drive-thru. The Family Prescription Center, where you and your family always come first.
At Rockwell, community involvement is important to us. Each year, our team donates thousands of dollars to local charities, such as Grace and the Richland Center Food Pantry. Our community involvement does not stop there. We are currently in the process of gathering supplies for local schools. Collections are going within our facility through August 30th. In addition, we partnered with the Richland School District, and therefore, there is a drop box at the district office for anyone in the community who wants to donate supplies to. Their office is open Monday through Thursday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., and Friday, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Please join us in donating these items to help our local schools.
Hello, WRCO listeners. This is Kenny, the wannabe baker from Christie's Sunnyside Bakery and Cafe. Hey, the feel of summer is here. Enjoy our outdoor dining and our new summer menu. We have many of your old favorites, along with some new taste of summer. Check us out online or stop on in to Christie's Sunnyside Bakery and Cafe. We are open Tuesday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., and Saturday from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Christie's Sunnyside Bakery and Cafe, where every day is sunny.
At Napa, we love cars, trucks, tractors, really anything with wheels and an engine. It's more than our business, it's our passion. That's why we care so much about quality parts and quality people. And that's why Napa is so proud to be one of the most comprehensive car care brands. Tools, parts, fluids, and more, we've got you covered. Visit your locally owned parts store, Napa Auto and Truck Parts, Highway 14 East, Richland Center, and Highway 61 in Boscobel.
The Shoebox was voted Madison's favorite shoe store, and they have what you need for back-to-school shoes. No one has a better selection of shoes than the Shoebox. With all the latest styles for teachers, coaches, and especially the students, the Shoebox is the place to go. They go the extra mile to bring you great service, proper size and fit, all at a great price. The Shoebox opens 7 days a week in Black Earth. Stop by and receive service like it ought to be.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And I was about to lose homeowners insurance as well. I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us. Operation Homefront, they've really been a blessing.
Visit OperationHomefront.org to learn more.
First, they said cigarettes were safe. We know how that turned out. Now, they say they didn't market e-cigarettes to teens. Fact, more than 1 in 4 high school students are vaping, and 80% say their first e-cigarette was flavored. Vaping is harmful to developing brains. The reason we think vaping is safe? Marketing. Same lies, different day. Tell Big Vape to quit lying.
Our morning show is kind of setting the stage. It's the pre-game show for Grace. Grace getting underway tonight at 6 o'clock for the opening ceremony, but a lot of activity is already going on as they set up the park. Joining me is a longtime Grace volunteer, Joanne Krulatz. Hi, Joanne, how are you?
I am good, Phil. How are you?
Well, wonderful. We had some important information on just a little bit ago with logistics, but do you have anything you'd like to update today?
I just really want to encourage people to come. I know the forecast coming in this morning didn't sound like you were very promising that it's going to stay completely dry, but it shouldn't be really wet either. I mean, we won't melt. So just come out and, you know, look at the luminaries, check out this auction items, and just enjoy each other's company as we come together to support our friends and neighbors that are battling this, you know, terrible disease right now, or supporting family members that are left who are, you know, remembering their loved ones that have passed on.
Yeah, that's a good point. A lot of times if someone is an ambassador, they're going through a cancer journey, and then sometimes, you know, the next few years, maybe they get all kinds of a whole bunch of support at first, but then you don't see all those families and friends coming back year after year. So it'd be nice to have people back. If nothing else, just stop and have a sandwich. And it's kind of a nice little social gathering, too, isn't it?
Well, like you and I talked about yesterday, I think it was that, you know, I think last year was a prime example when we had kind of a reunion, so to speak. There were a lot of names that you hadn't heard in a lot of years. Well, you know, this is our 21st, so you look back at years 1, 2, and 3, those names that were really prominent in the luminaries and on the luminaries, you know, program, you don't hear anymore because the families have kind of just, I don't want to say it'd be morbid, but died off. And there's nobody then to remember them. Well, we want to still remember them.
A lot of times they're forgotten, I guess, too, you know, and I'm guilty of that, too. It's like, you know, we'll do a luminary and, oh, why didn't we do a luminary for this person? Because we used to, you know. So,
right.
And you can still get luminaries in, can't you?
Oh, yes. They won't be on read in the ceremony, but, you know, feel free to stop by the park today anytime, purchase a luminary, and it will be out there. And then if you want to your luminary to use again, just simply write save on the bottom of the bag and we'll save it for you, or you can pick it up at the end of the ceremony and take it home with you. I mean, that's what I did. I had four of them I saved from last year and used them again this year. I mean, sometimes you have to, you know, after a couple of years, you gotta make some new ones, but...
Or if it catches on fire, which is rarity, but it has
it's
happened.
It's a rarity, but it has happened, yes.
Yep, they'll all be lit up before dusk. I think sunset is around, what, 8:15 or so today? We got it on the card there somewhere.
8:13.
8:13. I was close.
Yep.
I was close. So, yeah, and that's about the time where it really starts to sink in. You know,
right.
When you see, it kind of gets a little dark, and then you see those luminaries lit. And a lot of people just like to walk around and read those names, and that's where you kind of remember those folks, I think.
Yep. I think what I enjoy doing is, as the luminary ceremony the names are being read, to just walk slowly and, oh, that's the one that they just read. They just read that name, and... It's a kind of a solitude that you can experience.
Mm-hmm. Good point. So I guess the key reminders again for teams, be in place by 4 today, opening ceremony at 6, which we will carry on the radio tonight, and the luminary ceremony.
No Packer
as well.
Football.
No, the Packers have blocked us the last couple of years, I think.
So. Yes, but tomorrow afternoon they'll be on.
They're blocking Simo tomorrow. So,
yes.
And part of me.
But, and the other thing, they can get luminaries yet today. You can still get... raffle tickets, and we'll draw those after the luminary ceremony tonight. So maybe if you come by and you buy a ticket, you might be the last one to purchase a ticket, but you could be the first name drawn and, you know, get $1,000 for your effort.
$1,000 richer. We look forward to that. All right. Well, thanks for stopping by, Joanne.
No problem. I wasn't that far away.
No, you weren't. We'll see more of you tonight, actually. The morning show continues in just a moment.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Jelinek Plumbing and Heating. It's good to know someone you can trust when your home gives you a headache. Featuring 24-hour emergency service for plumbing, heating, and cooling. Jelinek Plumbing and Heating has been a trusted name when it comes to helping you solve any plumbing, heating, or cooling needs. Jelinek Plumbing and Heating, offering 24/7 service, reasonable rates, and we guarantee the job will be done right. Jelinek Plumbing and Heating, 649-7916.
Wagner Auto is your hometown family-owned towing service. When your vehicle needs a tow, they can handle it, no matter the size. Rely on professional 24-hour towing service with reasonable rates, all from the local towing company you can trust. Wagner Auto, 647-3443.
Adorable AKC registered short-haired pointer puppies are available. 6 weeks old, all liver color, great with kids and other dogs. Dad is a top-notch pheasant hunter. Just $800 each. Located in Highland, Wisconsin. Call 608-739-2950 for more information. Our morning show guest on WRCO this time is Michelle Reinen, administrator with the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Here we are in August already, Michelle.
Yeah, I can't believe it. The time is flying by. We're getting ready for school again, I suppose.
Yeah, we definitely are. And let's talk about some of the things concerning maybe some of the most recent complaints and whatnot. How about passport services? I don't think that's something we haven't talked about for a while.
No, and this is a scam spotlight for us this month, given some information we're seeing nationally here. Whether or not you've applied for a passport for as the first time or you're renewing your passport, if you search online, those top results might show you official looking websites offering to renew or get you a passport. But some of these websites are private companies that charge for services that may be free on the U.S. Department of State's website, while others really are scammers just trying to take your money and personal information.
Passports, I mean, you've got to jump through a few hoops to get those. What's the best way to do that with, you know, and trying to avoid a scam?
Yeah, you absolutely do. I think the best way to go through this is have awareness that scammers set up sites with similar names, flags, and seals, pretending to be affiliated with the government. And for anywhere from $60 to a few $100s, they promise to help you get a passport. But if you pay, often you're going to lose your money and might be giving your personal information to scammers who could sell it to identity thieves. So know that you will have to pay, but you pay for the passport itself and the processing. You don't have to pay for the service in order to fill out the application. The U.S. Department of State handles passport services, and they may not be the top result. So just look for the U.S. Department of State. Go directly there. You'll find the forms that you need to fill out. You can make your appointments accordingly, but you do not have to pay someone to process your application as part of the service. You just pay that application fee. So go to travel.state.gov if you're in this bucket of people who might need a new passport.
Can't you just go to your local post office?
Well, that may be an option depending upon which post office you have. Some offer those services. Some allow you to do that through appointments if you are a first-time passport recipient. So that could be an option, but it's easiest just to go to travel.state.gov to find out the official information. And again, you don't have to go through a company that's registered with them that charge extra fees to submit your application. But just go to the U.S. Department of State and you'll be able to receive the services and know what you need to do.
Another spotlight, I know you'd like to talk about lottery scam snowballs. What is that all about, Michelle?
Yeah, this isn't winter coming. This is just how one scam can move into a second scam and into a third, all asking you for money and all seeming legitimate. So what happened here is recently we received a complaint where the scammer was using this escalated series of claims and tricks to steal money. And it's important to note that this really did happen, and the person lost over $155,000. So it started when a consumer received a phone call claiming to come from the New York Department of Consumer Protection, and they had indicated that they'd won the Mega Millions lottery, but had not yet claimed their prize. However, you know, in order to receive that prize, the scammer said that the consumer had to pay state and federal taxes plus additional fees. And we've talked many times about how you don't have to pay to win a prize, but that was the first layer of this scam. And then what happened is it did snowball because the consumer was next contacted by another scammer impersonating the Colorado Department of Consumer Protection who requested an additional payment. But this time the consumer did become suspicious and didn't pay. And what happened next is that they were later contacted by someone claiming to be from the U.S. Department of Treasury. Now, this person informed the consumer that they were investigating the case and said the previous calls had been a scam. All of them were working together in this situation. But they said the U.S. Department of Treasury could get this consumer's money back, that $155,000 they'd paid, but that they would need to send money to cover the attorney's fees. So very fortunately, the consumer chose not to make the payment. They contacted DadCap as soon as they became suspicious, and we were able to redirect them and let them know that this was all a scam. But you can see how very easily this can just snowball out of control when you are dealing with what you think are legitimate government agencies, but a scammer is just impersonating them.
All I can think of is, oh, what a tangled web we weave, right?
Exactly. It is a very tangled web, and it can be difficult to get out of these situations because they see that you're willing to engage in that first stage, so then they're going to come up with many more reasons until you cut them off, but they'll continue to try and try again.
We've talked in the past about life insurance frauds. Anything new in that regard?
Yeah, in this case, this is national. People are getting letters in the mail from a law firm saying one of their clients has died and they're looking for the heir and that you are that heir. The letter goes on to explain that they have an offer for them. They want to split the proceeds between you, the consumer, some charities, and their law firm. Unfortunately, what's really happening here is this is not a lawyer, it's a scammer. The letters do sound very convincing. They explain that the firms tried to contact different family members, but that no heirs had come forward to collect the multi-million dollar life insurance policy or that inheritance. So it can seem very tempting to reply just to see if you really can get some of the money, but that's where the scam kicks in. If you contact them, they'll try to get your personal financial information, like your social security number and bank account number, or just money to, you know, pay taxes type situation. So just know this is a scam. It's not a legitimate law firm. There isn't really an inheritance there. So we really encourage consumers to not respond if they get this letter, and to please share this scam information with friends because it is circulating throughout the nation.
How do you tell whether it's legitimate? Like maybe you are an heir to money. Would it come in a different form?
Well, the first thing is you need to verify that the law firm is legitimate. Second, they're going to tell you if you do engage who has passed away. You know, they're going to relay information to you before you have to hand them information. They should be able to validate that. And then you would have something to verify that this really is someone you're related to if it's a long-lost somebody. So you need to do your validation, your verification, your digging against the law firm saying what they're doing. And again, verify the law firm is legitimate.
We're getting back towards school again. Student loan debt deadlines and scam awareness, another subject today. Michelle.
Yeah, there's upcoming dates for student loan debt, and that means scammers are going to try and take advantage. So what's happened here is in July, the Department of Education completed changes to the Public Student Loan Forgiveness, or PSLF, program. And the student loan debt holders who have applied for this may now find that their information, their PSLF information at studentaid.gov. That's a website I really want people to remember, studentaid.gov. The pause on new applications while this transition occurred has now ended because, again, there was a pause. So qualifying federal student loan debt borrowers are free to apply again at studentaid.gov. But now, until September 30th, borrowers in default on their federal student loans can use the Fresh Start program to return to good standings. So again, this one has that deadline of September 30th. There, you can sign up for Fresh Start by logging into your account at myeddebt.ed.gov. And this is at the Department of Education, and that's going to be your account there. So again, there are programs that borrowers are going to need to navigate. There have been changes to some of these. So we want consumers to be aware that scammers are going to take advantage with this information and misinformation and be aware of red flags of the different scams that are out there.
Is it true your federal student aid ID number, that's almost like giving out your Social Security number, for instance?
Well, yeah, so some scams are going to request your federal student aid ID, and they claim that they're going to need this to help you, but don't share it with anyone. The FSA ID has the same legal status as a signature, so it's different than a Social Security number, but it's got the same important value as holding that true. And someone with your FSA ID could access your account and take control of your personal information without your knowledge, and you do not want that. So keep that number confidential and limited to just you.
if they're pushy and kind of urgent and saying you've got just a short amount of time to do it, that's probably another red flag, isn't it?
Absolutely. If they're pushy, if they request for upfront fees, if they promise immediate loan forgiveness or cancellation, or say that things are a limited time offer and provide that sense of urgency, these are all red flags. Request to sign a third-party authorization form or a power of attorney, all things you need to watch for and use as something to back away from. Anything that claims that the program has a special relationship with the government or Department of Education, again, another red flag, unless you can validate that claim with the agency itself, that government agency they say they work with. So watch for individuals using official-looking names, seals, and logos, and say that they have special access. Those are not individuals you should be engaging with.
Another tip this month is if you're moving in, not only for, you know, area residents, but maybe you're moving your student in, what are some tips for tenants?
Yeah, so this is a big flip time, especially if you're by a college town or, you know, near one, or maybe you're moving away from a college town into a community for your job now. And you want to be sure that when it's time to move out of the property, that you ask the landlord for a walkthrough of the housing unit before the final checkout. This can be really helpful to the tenant in assessing what needs to be cleaned or repaired to avoid any security deposit deductions. Because you put that money down on the upfront, you want to get as much of it back on the move-out time. And one other way to do that is take detailed photos of the property during that final walkthrough to document the condition. If it's not photos, take video, and then be sure to provide the landlord with the new address so you can receive your security deposit promptly. If you don't give them your new address, hopefully you forwarded your mail, but you're going to have that mail forwarding delay time and getting that money back.
Most certainly, especially if there's some damage, you know, a hole in the wall or maybe the drapes are pulled out or something. You want to document that in photos, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? You want to document that when you're moving in. Maybe you're moving into a property. You have 7 days at the time that you move in to inspect the premises and notify the landlord of any defects or damage. And that becomes important in protecting your security deposit at the beginning, because later on, a year later, no one's going to remember who put that hole in the wall. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to be held responsible for it if it isn't repaired by the landlord. So again, you want to be sure that you're doing the same things upon moving in and documenting and taking photos, and in this case, reporting that within 7 days to the landlord upon moving in so they have that information as well.
What are some tips for hiring a moving company, Michelle?
Oh, yeah. So you want to get an honest mover here. You want to make sure you're dealing with an honest business. And so you want to watch for those scammers who are posing as moving companies, and anyone who's requiring a deposit and then never shows up for the move, that's who you want to be sure you're avoiding. You want to make sure you don't fall victim to a scam where your belongings are loaded in the truck and it disappears, or they offer such low estimates before moving, but then they raise the price and refuse to unload your items. So the red flags in choosing a mover so you can avoid those problems is that the company's website lacks an address, registration, or insurance information. You want to be sure you're dealing with somebody who's going to be open and honest and provide the detailed information that you need to identify them. A mover who shows up in a rented truck versus one that's labeled with their company logo, they maybe have something that's legitimate to explain it, but you want to validate that before you really put all your belongings in that truck. And then any company that wants to be paid in advance. A deposit's one thing, but asking to be paid before they do any work for the move, that's something to really be cautious of. And always get a quote in writing. Versus just verbally, so you can both be sure that you know exactly what's going to be involved in this move and there won't be any miscommunications.
I've heard some real horror stories, and I think one of the things is, you know, it might be cheaper, but there might be a reason it's cheaper. Look for an established company, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You want to be sure that you are doing all you can to be sure you're dealing with someone who is going to be able to follow up with any concerns that you have. So never sign blank documents. That's going to be the final tip I can leave people with. You can learn more on movers from the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, and they have a great documents to prepare you for moving at protectyourmove.gov.
Also, just back to school, a final thought, back to school, watch for some of those things, you know, people are doing a lot of shopping online to get ready for back to school. I think you need to be aware, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. In this place, there's two places to be cautious. One is any online shopping that you might be doing. You know, we've talked about fake websites plenty in all of our conversations, but don't think that that just happens at the holiday season. That happens now as well. So avoid clicking links in any emails, texts, or other promotional messages that you might see on social media leading you to that too good to be true deep discount. Likely you'll end up at an imposter's website and handing over your personal information. So when shopping online, please use that credit card so you have that added protection. But if you're in the brick and mortar stores, double check that your items are priced correctly at checkout. You know, verify that the shelf price is the price that is scanning at the register. And if not, say something to the customer service representative and go to the customer service counter if you need to talk to a manager. And if all else, contact Consumer Protection.
If anybody has any questions, and maybe they think that they've spotted a scam, what's the best way to report it, Michelle?
You can call the Consumer Protection Hotline here at DADCAP at 1-800-422-7128, or you can go directly to our website at datcp.wi.gov.
Awesome. Always good to talk to you. The next time we talk, it'll be, wow, after Labor Day, I guess, won't it?
Just incredible. You take care and have a great end of summer, I guess.
Sounds good. You bet. Michelle Ryan joining us from Consumer Protection during our monthly report here on The Morning Show.
Hi, this is Danny Miller, Old Cooch Books and Libations, downtown Richland Center. You know, we got the best books. You know, we got the best wine. You know, we have the best records in probably southwest Wisconsin, and they're the best curated records, and I mean curated. We have the best records, and they're going out to the best homes. You should come by. Come by Saturday when we have two gents here nerding it out over the records. Old Cooch Books and Libations, downtown Richland Center. Every day there's something new.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Boarding House Antiques in Richland Center, where you can treasure hunt in 17 rooms of antiques and gifts. There's live music at the Garden Stage every second Friday of the month, June through September. Tammy and Margie invite you to visit Tuesday through Saturday. Check out the historic Boarding House Antiques. Check them out on Facebook and their webpage. They buy antiques. 339 West Seminary Street in Richland Center, next to the depot.
Welcome to Pratt Chat. Pratt Chat is a service of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. Join us each week for a conversation with Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service for answers to questions that we're all hesitant to ask. Pratt Chat is sponsored by the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Mark Jelenic, today let's talk about burial containers and what we should use, the different products we can use.
Sure. So a lot of people, a very common thing that people ask about right now are green burials, which you are allowed to do in some cemeteries. And a lot of times we'll tell people that certain cemeteries have outer burial container requirements. And so they'll usually follow up with, do you mean a vault? Not necessarily. So an outer burial container is a vault is located as an outer burial container, but not all outer burial containers are vaults. What the difference is most cemeteries require that the outermost container, either around a casket or an urn, is non-biodegradable, and it will kind of maintain the earth so it doesn't sink in. So what the outer burial container does is it keeps the casket intact. It keeps things the earth off of the casket, but it doesn't necessarily keep moisture away from the casket. Most of the outer burial containers are made of concrete. So concrete is porous, so moisture can kind of get in and out of the container. on the kind of entry-level outer burial containers, there's also holes down in the bottom. So if moisture does get in, it can get back out. But it meets the cemetery code because as they're made of concrete, the earth does not sink down with time. The ground stays level. So if you go to an older part of a cemetery, you'll notice that the ground is usually fairly unlevel. What happens there is over the course of time, the casket has biodegraded and kind of collapsed down into the grave. So a lot of times in the old parts of cemeteries, they're more lumpy, and that basically means that things have decomposed, the casket has deteriorated, and those air pockets that were there have kind of sunk in. The outer burial container does not allow that to happen at the cemetery. Now, when we talk about a vault, the difference between them is the vault says it will protect whatever is inside that unit. So still made of concrete. It has a plastic liner on the inside. The best way to describe